5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. Or if you're listening to this on replay, it would be after the 3 o'clock hour. There we go, Angel. That's how you do that. We got a busy one lined up for you today. We're going to talk. We'll talk about the Nuggets. Didn't talk Nuggets much yesterday. Didn't talk a lot of hoops yesterday. It was we were still in the Super Bowl 58 aftermath, which we will be for a while. That was apparently a very, very well-viewed game. So I want to get into more of that later on. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady debate is really ramping up. Some people are ready to crown Patrick Mahomes as the GOAT already, Angel. Recency bias taken over. We'll get into that as well. Jeff Linder, head coach for the Wyoming Cowboys. He's not going to be on the show today, but he had some very interesting things to say about the lack of attendance going on in the Dome of Doom in Wyoming. Not thrilled with the attendance, the student section, the overall fan support. Cody Tucker will join me in about half an hour from 7220sports.com to discuss. It's got a lot of people talking about it on the socials, at least when it comes to the Mountain West Conference. So that one's going to be a very interesting discussion with Cody coming up at the bottom of this hour. The Mountain West, not one team was placed in the AP poll for top 25. Utah State was at 26th and CSU at 27th. This is just an example, though, Angel, of the Mountain West eating their own. I mean, I knew this was going to happen. It's great to have a competitive conference, but sometimes it's tough when you don't have one or two front runners, and they've certainly had that at times throughout the course of the season, but it's been a mixed bag as of late. Teams are beating each other left and right, it seems. That's also not the worst thing. I mean, 26th and 27th. What does top 25 actually mean in the grand scheme of things? When the goal is to get to the big dance, you don't have to be in the top 25 to do it. It's more about what it looks like. So we'll talk about that throughout the course of the day, too. Mike Brohert will join me in the final hour of the program. Sean Payton says he and Russell Wilson are good. They have a great relationship. Are we buying that or are we selling it? Buy or sell's coming up in the final hour as well. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, let's talk about last night's debacle for the Denver Nuggets. They get smoked 112-95 by the Milwaukee Bucks. And there for a while, it was the Denver Nikolas. It was all Nikola Jokic. Nobody seemed to have any interest in playing that game. At one point, I looked. I think the second best player on the team, second best scoring output was like 3 or 5 points. Joker had 23. It was an absolute blowout. So the poll question of the day today, are you concerned about the Nuggets' quest to repeat as champs after seeing the last two blowouts? Keep in mind, they got blown out by the Sacramento Kings not that long ago. They get smoked by the Bucks last night. They got one more game before the All-Star break. They have the Kings. So the loss was bad. Well, you know what? On that note, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The good for me was going to be Nikola Jokic's game. 29 points, 8 assists, 12 boards. But I got this news. A friend of ours, Jenny Kavnar, she was the desk host for the Colorado Rockies. She's making some history. She's going to be the official play-by-play broadcaster, play-by-play announcer for the Oakland Athletics. Jenny Kavnar, Colorado State alum. Very cool. NBC Sports California made the announcement this morning to welcome Jenny Kavnar as the Oakland A's play-by-play announcer. So congratulations to Jenny, Susan, and Cheryl, no doubt. Happy about that. That is really cool. She made some history. I think she's the first female primary play-by-play announcer in Major League Baseball history. So, wow, that is some pretty special news. That's some significant news. I'm happy to say we've had her on this show a lot. Although I didn't like the whole calling the Rams the Aggies on the broadcast. So just make sure you're calling them the A's all the time and don't give them their fun name. It's all about marketing. The bad for me is Jamal Murray KCP injuries. Michael Malone says he doesn't know if they're going to be playing against the Kings tomorrow night. I would say do not do that. Go ahead and rest them. You've got the All-Star break coming up. This is the thing. We're panicking a little bit, and you get blown out that kind of, I mean, basically the same kind of scores in your last two games. There should be concern. Check your pulse if you're not at least a little bit concerned. However, last year, this time, they were 36-18. Angel, what is their record right now? It is 36-18. So, how much does that mean to you? Defense isn't as good as it has as it was last year. The offense certainly isn't as explosive as it was last season. However, you still have the same record as a season ago. But it is a tight race in the Western Conference. You know, that record last year kept you in first place for most of the season. This year, it's a dogfight. It is a dogfight for that top spot. And the ugly is the loss itself. The Nuggets made an interesting push late in the first, thanks to Nikola Jokic, but Milwaukee jumped right out the gates in the second, outscored the Nuggets 32-21. That's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Poll question of the day, are you concerned? And people, it depends. There's two types of fans. And Angel, I don't know, sometimes you come out one way, maybe you change it the other way. It just depends on the team. It depends on your view of that team. A lot of people don't love this poll question because why are you worried? That was my whole thing with the Rams thing. You know, when the Rams lost to Wyoming the way they did, they lost to Nevada before that, I was worried. I was concerned. And after they won, what, three or four in a row, bunch of Rams fans were coming at me. Why were you worried? It's basketball. Relax. No, it's how you follow that up. You lost to Wyoming. That sucked. How do you follow that up? Because you can't afford to lose many more. And CSU followed it up beautifully. But you have a right to be concerned if you see your team struggle. If you see your team, you know, show some weaknesses in the roster. And here's the thing, man. When you look at this Nuggets roster right now, the concerns are the same as last year. The bench is weak. You're counting on your starters to be absolutely perfect every single night. And if that doesn't happen, you have to get lucky and hope that one of your bench players really hits. And that didn't happen last night. And they played a lot. That didn't happen against the Kings. So you're right to be concerned. However, this year's different than last year. You know, Angel, at the end of this, when they lost to Chicago, remember the Chicago Bulls lost last year, and I freaked out. I was mad. And you and I were going back and forth. We were going rounds. And my big argument was they haven't earned my relax take. They haven't earned that yet. They didn't earn it. I've never seen them struggle in those stages and then use that and catapult into the playoffs and go deep. I never saw that. They did it in the bubble, sure. We all agree that was a Mickey Mouse championship. So last year, my thing was, I am freaked out. I am worried because I haven't seen it. This team, same record as last year. Have they earned some patience? Have they earned that credit for us to say, or that respect, I should say, for us to stand back and say, all right, there's bench struggles. They had bench struggles last year. They overcame that in the playoffs. Have they earned that from us? And here's the thing, kind of, because this is a different bench. This isn't the same three guys that the Nuggets relied on so heavily in the playoffs. This isn't Bruce Brown and Jeff Green and Christian Brown, that version from a year ago. This is Reggie Jackson. He had 7 points in 22 minutes. He was 3 of 7 last night. This is Peyton Watson, who had 5 points in 21 minutes. He was 2 of 6 and getting absolutely destroyed while he was trying to play defense. And this is also a Christian Brown that had 7 points in 22 minutes. He was 2 of 7. A guy that overall, we can agree, doesn't have a thing. He doesn't have a thing. In the playoffs, he had a thing. What is Christian Brown bringing to the table on a nightly basis? So I do agree this team, led by Nikola Jokic and your big, ultimately your max four, should earn some respect. We should give them a lot of leeway. But the bench unit isn't the same as last year. I don't know if Reggie Jackson still has the ability to turn it on in the postseason. It's a different season. I don't know that Peyton Watson, this young player who sometimes plays like a rookie, sometimes he doesn't, I don't know that he has the ability in a best of seven series to bring it every night like we saw with Bruce Brown. And I don't know if Christian Brown is planning on getting back to the rookie version of Christian Brown that we saw in those playoffs. So honestly, Angel, it's a mixed bag. I'm a little more relaxed than I was this time last year. Blowouts certainly are concerning. But I'm still concerned about this. Can the starting group essentially be perfect? And if not, who's coming off the bench to really produce? Those are the big concerns right now. So I think if you selected yes, I'm concerned, you're right to be concerned. I think if you selected no, you got to be a little concerned. You can't get blown out like that twice in a row and not walk away going, are they going to be okay? Because this is the push. You're going to get a little bit of a pass because the All-Star break is next week. But this is now, we're almost in that full push where teams are, the trade deadline is over. The group they have on their roster right now, those are the guys they're going with. So now it's time to go. No more mixing and matching and figuring out our roster and all that stuff. This is the group. So after the All-Star break, it's very important what the next 2, 4, 6 weeks look like after that. How do you follow that up when you're in that mode? When you're in the, okay, now the playoffs are there. We can see it now. The goalpost is in our view. How can you overcome some of the issues that you struggled with pre-All-Star break? So now the push is on, man. And the race is not getting any easier. I mean, in the NBA Western Conference, it is a tight race. The Nuggets are in fourth place. They're a game and a half out of first. That's how tight this is. Minnesota's 1. OKC is 2. The Clippers 3. Nuggets now sitting at 4. The Pelicans are at 5. The Suns have climbed up. And again, the Pelicans and the Suns are about 5.5 to 6 games back. So they still have some climbing to do. But this is not something that I'm just going to brush off my shoulder and say they'll be fine. However, I do feel a little more confident than I did last season. And that's because I'm just flat out paying Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and probably KCP the respect they deserve. But I'm still very very concerned about the bench at this stage. You concerned at all or nothing?
No, I mean, I have concerns, you know, losing 2 games back-to-back in that fashion. It's, you know, you see it and you're just, oh, what's going on? The effort's not there. They're not playing defense well enough, and we know that's what Malone wants to focus on. But I also consider the context of Jamal Murray is sick or something, some kind of stomach virus, KCP, hamstring, tried to play last night. Malone said he hesitated when he asked him how he was feeling, so smart on him to not keep pushing at that point. It's a weird kind of road trip, going to LA in Sacramento, then Milwaukee, and then you're back home. You're looking forward to the All-Star break. You know you're only sending one guy to the All-Star weekend, so you know maybe guys are kind of just relaxing a little bit, just, oh, I'm looking forward to a weekend off or whatever the case is. But this team, even going back to, you know, training camp, preseason, The biggest questions were, how do you find that motivation to win a title again? And I think sometimes fans, we see, oh, our team just won a title, we're going to run it back with the same guys and just expect the same result. When it's sports, everything changes. You know, I'm sure there were Chiefs fans that didn't think they were going to repeat, you know, 6 weeks in. And that team had to find new ways to motivate themselves to get to a Super Bowl and eventually win it. So that's what this team has to face now. They have to understand, yeah, we have a lot of the same pieces. We have some new things on the bench, but we have to find a different way to motivate ourselves. And I don't think the starting five have to be perfect, you know, because KCP's not going off for 20 every night.
Well, perfect on the defensive side, though.
Yeah.
You need them to be perfect in the areas that they're that are their strengths.
Right.
Jamal's got an issue with his leg too. Like, I don't know if he was sick on top of that, but his like,
I know he was sick in Sacramento.
Yeah, his between his knee and his ankles, all, I don't know what it is right now, but that's scary. If I'm alone, I'm not playing either of those guys tomorrow night against the Kings. I am shutting it down. Are they looking toward the All-Star week and kind of not as aggressive? It's weird. Like last night's game, Angel, when this team's not firing on all cylinders offensively, the defense goes out the window. They don't have the kind of defense that can carry their offense. So maybe that is a mental thing where it's, all right, we got the same record as last year. We can coast a little bit. Is that a concern? It's a long season. I've seen championship teams do this. I've seen LeBron James-led teams do this, where they just don't really turn it on until the last, you know, they coast. They do enough to stay in the top five. They coast a little bit. It is something that happens in the NBA. This is why, you know, that argument is so strong as to why could you ever see them shortening the season by 10 games or something. It'll never happen, but this stuff does happen. Your championship teams, your stud teams, you know, unless there's like a record, like Golden State went after the record, the regular season win record, and then they ended up not winning the championship that year. But unless you have something like that to really motivate you, it can be difficult on February 13th to find that motivation. Hopefully they find it after the All-Star break. That's when you really, if you get blown out a couple of games right out the gate after the All-Star break, that's when you really should be concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, look at the Miami Heat last season, who were kind of just floating around that play-in spot most of the year, and then they get into April, May, and they start turning it on. They get into the playoffs, and they're a completely different team. Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, these guys are going crazy, beating Boston in a seven-game series, beating Milwaukee in their first series. And, yeah, you know, Giannis thing was injured, whatever. But that was still a team that got hot really late into the year and carried that all the way to the finals. Yes, they came up against a more dominant team, but it's that kind of momentum you can get in basketball that can carry you into a playoff run like that.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be, you know, the follow-up. It's like I said, I was concerned about CSU after they lost to Wyoming. How they followed it up, great. That's what I needed to see from you guys. This is what I need to see from the Nuggets right now. Tomorrow, I honestly don't care. Go ahead, whatever. You lose it, you lose it. You've gone this far maintaining a top four spot. Get this one done with tomorrow. Get to the break. Where I'll be concerned is how do you follow that up right after the All-Star break?
Yeah, I mean, they've only lost back-to-back games three other times this season. This is the fourth time they've lost back-to-back games, and they've usually responded pretty well. We've talked about it throughout the year about going on those streaks of, you know, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 6, 5 out of 7 games where you're winning. And, you know, the All-Star break is just a weird time where it's, hey, we can take off because I know I'm gonna have a weekend off, Michael, Jamal, KCP, any other guys. I know Jokic is the only one going, and he probably doesn't even want to go.
No, probably not.
So maybe that's a mental thing for him. He wants to lock in. His team's not locking in. But he knows, I'm basically have the weekend off anyway because I got to go do meet and greets for 3 days.
Yeah, and it's not one of those things where I go, well, should that be a concern that mentally they're not dialed in right now? These guys have been playing a long time now. Nikola Jokic has already been in several of these All-Star weekends. This is the problem with 82-game seasons, and Major League Baseball does the same thing, where you just kind of get into the dog days, and you're like, all right, we got 2 weeks until a break here. It happens. It's human nature.
Well, your motivation is just different. We've watched this team build from the ground up and go on these playoff hunts where they're getting knocked out in the second round, or they don't have all their players, so you don't expect them to go far. And then last year they finally go all the way and win it, and now you are in a different category of motivation than the other 29 teams in the league. Teams like Minnesota, OKC, they know what's still in front of them. It's winning a title. Boston, they're chasing titles because they still have a great team and a legacy that they have to live up to. The Nuggets are still creating their legacy.
And you're only, again, you're a game and a half out. You know, you look at what it's going to look like after the All-Star break. Thursday, February 22nd. So after tomorrow night, they're off until next Thursday. So a little over a week. You're home against Washington, and then you're at Portland and at Golden State, home against Sacramento, and home against Miami. So you look at those games, especially Washington and Portland, you're just hoping those are the get-right games that you need to feel better. Because, again, the schedule's going to be like this the rest of the way. It's going to be up and down. You're going to have a stretch of games where it's against, you know, the Kings, and the Phoenix Suns are going to be down the stretch as well. And Miami's in the mix. They're over 500 at this stage. So that Washington-Portland game, those two following, I think they're back-to-back. It's Thursday and Friday of next week. Those will be critical for you to come out the gates, storm out the gates. Hopefully injuries are okay, and you just get two quick wins.
Well, and the positive is they only have 11 road games in this back half of after the break, and only two of those are back-to-back road games. So
yeah.
You're going to be playing a lot more at home. You can build some of that momentum if you can get back into the one seed and hold on to it. We know how good this team is at home.
So do you look at this game last night as a throwaway? Almost like a throwaway?
Considering the starters not being in there, or two of the starters not being in there.
Well, KCP played 9 minutes and then they pulled him. Right. I don't know why he was out there at all. I thought that was a weird decision. Murray played 18 minutes, and then he didn't return in the second half.
Yeah, and I mean, you go into halftime, you come out, and it's like, oh, where's KC? Where's Jamal? Well, they're not playing. All right, well, we'll see how this starts off. If we don't start off well, then we'll kind of just
Joker,
not pack it in, but kind of just, it is what it is.
I mean, even on the broadcast, Marlowe and Hastings knew, I think they were down 20, and when Joker went out at the end of the third, it was like, that's it for Joker. I mean, unless you just have a guy go off here and make it a 12-point game suddenly, Joker's not coming back in. So they knew what it was.
We talked about it with CSU. It's those up and down dramatic reactions to, oh, they beat the Lakers last week, and it's, oh, right, here's the team that we want to see, and that's the team that we think can win it. And then they lose two, and it's, oh, man, this team's got issues. And then if they go and win tomorrow night, yeah, we're going to feel great that they won, but do we feel good enough to know, okay, they didn't go into the break on a three-game
lead. First off, if you were celebrating a championship after beating the Lakers,
well, I mean, like, you
should
feel
be checking
good
yourself.
About what you
sure,
saw.
You check yourself, but it's a good win. I felt really good about their win against Milwaukee, you know, 2 weeks ago. But Damian Lillard wasn't in that game, you know, and Damian Lillard, that's an X factor now for Milwaukee. So I'm not hitting the panic button. There's concern. How you follow it up after the All-Star break. Tomorrow I'm going to probably watch that game with no expectations. A loss, a win, whatever. But how you follow that up will be absolutely critical. 28 minutes after the hour, Cody Tucker going to join me at the bottom of the hour. Let's talk about Jeff Linder. Let's talk about fans not going to games in Wyoming. What are you guys doing? Can you not get through the snow? 28 after. We'll be right back.
Basketball is here, and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
33 minutes after the hour. All right, I'll tell you guys quickly here about Lemons Heating and Cooling. Heating, air conditioning, duct cleaning. We're having some weird issues going on here with our stuff, so maybe we need to give Lemons Heating and Cooling a call. You have those rooms where you walk in and you're like, it's freezing in here, and then 5 feet away it's a different room, and it's really hot. Why is that? Lemons Heating and Cooling can fix that for you. Or maybe you need just a flat-out new system altogether. They have free estimates available for you. That's lemonsheatingandcooling.com. 33 minutes after the hour, Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com going to join me next. Let's talk about attendance. Let's get into that. Jeff Linder's not happy about fans perhaps not showing up in a massive number to Wyoming basketball home games. Cody's coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back into the whole show. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. And Cody, getting into this conversation, great write-up that you did that has a lot of people talking, as your stuff tends to do. I mean, we talk about it a lot, man. We get after it. Jeff Linder, not thrilled with the attendance situation going on inside what, you know, the Dome of Doom, as we want to call it there, man. So talk to us about his press conference, how that went down, and let's get into it.
Yeah, you know, Dome of Doom is not indicative of what that place has been for a number of years now, unfortunately. But, you know, he kind of started this narrative, you know, last year he obviously did. He brought it up, and it really ruffled some feathers, but this year, he brought it up kind of after the New Mexico game. The first thing he said before he sat down was, what were the attendance numbers? And he just kind of rolled his eyes and left it at that once he saw it was only, you know, 3,000 plus for a top 25 team in town. But yesterday, he kind of brought it up again. We need a good crowd. You know, we go on the road. We play at San Diego State, Utah State, CSU, all these places where the place is packed and rowdy and there's students galore. And he kind of left it at that. But at the end of the press conference, I said, hey, man, my words, not yours. The student section sucks, and it needs to be fixed. This is a problem. What can you guys do? And, boy, he went on about a five-minute spiel about how he feels about it. And, he basically said, if we need to go out there and do it and drum up business, we'll have to do it ourselves. But whatever needs to happen, needs to happen.
It's interesting, Cody, and I'm a big Jeff Linder fan. I know he had those frustrations here in Greeley, which is completely different than what's going on with Wyoming as far as numbers that we're talking about and all that. But the numbers obviously low at UNC. So I know Linder was upset and frustrated with that. But the student section obviously seems to be a big one that we're talking about. What is it? I mean, is it because, you know, there's interest. You and I have had conversations about the people that read your stuff, the numbers of people that read your stuff. So I know there's interest in the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and, you know, it's been really annoying the last 24 hours, but on the flip side, it's been informative in some ways, what people have to say. Of course, you know, the genius is out there, well, just win. Okay, well, you know, easier said than done, and I'm pretty sure Jeff Linder's trying to win. That's the goal, right? So he also brought up NIL, and he just said, you know, if we're not paying any money in NIL, so that's not going to keep anybody here. So the least we can do is show up and support these guys so they can say, hey, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to leave because, yeah, I'm not making much money in the NIL, but on the flip side, you know, there's 10,000 screaming fans here, and this is a great atmosphere, and I want to play here. And honestly, I think that's what's happening with the Wyoming football program because the crowds are great. The student section is great. It's all good. And, you know, the Cowboys have lost five football players to the transfer portal, none of which were entrenched starters. And they even got one guy back, and three seniors are coming back for year six, mainly because of stuff like that, because of how great they went 7-0 at home last year, and it was all good. These students, what a lot of people don't understand, Brady, outside of our, you know, our area, it's really hard to get to Laramie. And we've talked about it before. It's treacherous from some parts of Wyoming to get to Laramie. Let alone on a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock against Joe Blow University. It's really, really hard. So what you need is you need Cheyenne people, which is 45 miles away where I live, Laramie, which is 27,000 when students are in, and the alumni in Northern Colorado in the Fort Collins Loveland area to get there. But mainly what we do know is there are students on campus who are hanging out in their dorm rooms or their apartments. Get your ass to the arena.
Yeah, they're in their onesies sitting in the dorm rooms, man, not coming out watching basketball. That's where the pressure is because, again, the fans you can sympathize with a bit when it comes to weather, especially where you guys are. That's understandable. And you also noted, too, and I think this is a worthwhile discussion, the availability to watch these games, whether they're not on big networks or whatever. You can most of these games, like the Mountain West Network's putting it on their website, and that's all well and good, but then you get lazy people, like me sometimes, that are like, you know what, I can watch this game while I'm watching that game, while I'm watching the Avs game, I'm doing all of it. Technology certainly plays a part.
It does, 100%, and it's doing that with football crowds and every other crowd around the country that we've seen, even NFL crowds in some areas. What I thought Jeff brought up, which was very interesting, was we need to make this an event, Wyoming football games are an event. Yes, the weather's typically better. You tailgate all day. You can party all day. You run into people you haven't seen in 100 years, and it's a day. It's mostly a weekend party in Laramie, and it's all good. Basketball, just you walk into the place, and there's not people walking around outside because it's miserable cold and windy, and you just walk in, and then the atmosphere doesn't get much better on the inside. And I don't know what it's going to take, but I know if I'm Athletic Director Tom Berman, I'm sending my marketing people, and I'm saying, go to Fog Allen Fieldhouse, go to North Carolina, go to Cameron, I'm going to fly you to all these games around the country, go see how they do it, and rip them off.
What was the attendance, and I want to get to that too, because that's a great point. What was the attendance like for the CSU game?
It was around 7, but the arena auditorium seats 11,000. And, you know, as a kid growing up here in the early 2000s, Wyoming basketball was absolutely on fire, and Wyoming football was not. And, that's when they would have Big Monday on ESPN, and it'd be a 10 o'clock tip on Monday night, and there'd still be 10,000, 11,000. And that's when the arena sat about 14,000 or 15,000. So it was packed all the time, and it was great, and it was must-watch TV. And another thing I think that kind of hurts Brady that nobody's talked about, you want your players to not be idiots, but you want them to have a personality. You want them to be like, hey, like, that guy is wild on social media. He's cool. He's, you know, interacts with fans. Plus, you know, he's got monster dunks and, you know, the dude's a player. Like, it's just such a team atmosphere at Wyoming right now. There's not really any guys that stand out or, you know what I'm trying
sure.
to say?
Sure. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Just personality wise. And these guys have good personalities, but we don't get to see them.
And that's a different discussion, too, as far as marketing. And what are you doing to market? You know, and I know we've talked about this. I've talked about UNC and people going to games there. I've talked about, you know, attendance is awesome at Moby Arena right now. But how do you continue to grow? How do you grow your brand so everybody's talking about you? I mean, those are all discussions that you have to have. But it starts with the students, right? I mean, it's that's in your own backyard. Those are people that you have to go to. I like this story, and I don't know if you'll want to hear it or if Cowboys fans want to hear it, but I really like what Moby Arena did or what Nico Medved did with their fan group there, their Outlaws of Moby.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's still going. I know they're still going to games and stuff, but they basically took a group of dudes that are like, hey, we're going to every games and we're wearing cowboy hats, which that seems more like your thing, Cody, to be real honest. But they're going to those games. And then what did Medved do? I don't know if this was a CSU thing, but Medved doubled down on that. He's like, I see you, dudes. I like that. You got to brand it. Come to every game. You're going to be the guys in the cowboy hats. You know what? I'm going to pay for you to go to the Mountain West tournament. And I've always said this with UNC here, and again, way different scales, but I would be going to freshmen at the beginning of the season, and I'm saying, hey, U5 right there. I got free pizza for, you know, a month, whatever, 5 months, free pizza for the year. You're going to be my Bears dudes. You're going to be my Cowboys. Yep. You're going to be whatever. And I want you to grow. I want you to be so freaking crazy out there that they film you, that they get you on TV. And I think that's a little thing that could turn into a big thing.
I agree 100%. I even thought, you know, Linder and I were on a Zoom yesterday, so I didn't really have a chance to talk to him off of that. But go knock on doors. Go walk around the dorm. Send your players around. Go knock on doors and do it the old school way. Whatever it takes, man, just go get people excited about it. I think something they can take from CSU, which, oh, by the way, Moby hasn't always been good. You know, when Wyoming was good back in the day and they weren't, three-quarters of that place was filled with Wyoming fans. But it's really good now, and they're right on top of you, and the students are behind both hoops. It's a nightmare to play there, no question about it. But something as simple as the beer a year thing that they do at CSU. And students are actually hitting the damn thing. So that's great. That's good stuff. Somebody mentioned on my Twitter, hey, dollar beer night. Love it. Absolutely love it. So, yeah, get them wearing. They used to be the six-man club, and then it went to, like, the Stampede or whatever. Get that going again. Get people excited. People are saying, oh, I think it's bad because, you know, the students are now behind the hoop. Well, the students are behind the hoop in Moby, and they're behind the hoop in San Diego, and they look like they're having a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you got to find things that make it a blast for people. And yeah, I do agree. The win's got to come, too. It's, you know, I've heard Joe Parker here with CSU talk about, like, hey, we need the fan support. We need the fan support, and then we'll deliver or, you know, whatever. He didn't say it quite like that. But there is a give and take. You got to win. You got to show them that you're – but again, Linder had some freaking amazing players the last couple of years. So, yep. And I know last year – I know Grammy K was out, but I know last year we Coach Linder had this kind of same thing where he – you noted that in your article where he's asking fans to get out there.
Yeah, and this year I get where he's coming from, but I don't think it's resonated because – you know, people see through it. I mean, he had to restock his entire roster. Yeah, they are way better and way more competitive, and they seem to have way more effort. And he talks about all the time what good guys they are and how they try hard and they love to go to practice and they love each other. That's great, but for the fans, they're like, well, you know, Sam Griffin's a senior, Aquell Cott's a senior, Mason Walters is a senior. We're just going to start this process all over next year. And it's the same with the NIL thing. Like, people are like, I'm not going to pay for this and that. And I always say, Brady, now is the time you pull for the name on the front of the jersey more than ever.
Yeah.
You have to. It's not the name on the back anymore at all. It's the guys on the front. Are you a Wyoming fan or are you not? And, yeah, you're right, though. I mean, look, I've been a fan my whole life of different teams, too. If they're winning, you feel like it's a must-go event and you must be there and you can't miss it. Now it's just like, you know, and the atmosphere is just dreadful. But students, like, find a way to get the students there at least. And then they create so much energy that they make it fun for other people to show up.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you go to a packed arena and you see students being absolute morons, it's entertaining as hell. I love it.
No doubt. Yeah, and it's what sets college basketball and football apart from every other sport on the planet. It's the band. It's the students. It's the chants, as grotesque as they can be, even better. I love it. I absolutely love it. And that's why I'll die on the hill that college sports are better than the pros all day, every day.
What is the pushback you're getting? Because my Twitter, I retweeted your story, and it's kind of blown up. So what's the pushback on this? Because I know Linder personally. I know he had these frustrations 5 minutes away from me. So I understand and I get it, and I've seen it firsthand. What happens when you can't find that student section to get aggressive? So what's the pushback?
Well, the main pushback right now is, well, you know, you need to produce a winner. And Jeff's rebuttal is, hey, man, we're one game behind CSU in the standings. We're two games behind Utah State, who's number one in the league. And they're coming to Laramie tomorrow night. So you can definitely tell that's the rallying cry this week. They've had a week off, and they're kind of saying, hey, man, we win this game, and next thing you know, we're a game behind Utah State. They already are a game behind CSU with a game in hand. I mean, is it realistic that they're going to win the Mountain West or contend? No. Is it realistic that they're going to cause some serious effing chaos? Yes, absolutely. And that's what you want from a team, and that's what makes a team exciting is, hey, you never know. They can pop off and beat Utah State. Look what they did to Colorado State. Look what they did to Nevada. I mean, it can be done, but there are some, you know, there's some kind of glaring issues that it's not like it's just this year. Even 2 years ago when they made that run to the NCAA tournament, the best crowd was probably 8,000-9,000 against Colorado State. I mean, it got better, progressively better, but I'm thinking back to the Steve McClain days when there's 10,000 in the arena is not a great night.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And again, I like a lot of the stuff that you put together here for us. And I, you know, some people wonder, is the timing okay for Linder to come out and do this? Is this going to have the reverse effect? Do you see students, maybe fans, pull back a little bit? Or do you think that this was ultimately a pretty good move?
I think this move, and this is just me, I think that this was geared toward the athletic department.
I do too.
It was geared toward, that for sure. And I also think it was geared toward saying, hey, players, my roster, I got your back, man. And I'm going to go out there and put out this really unpopular opinion because I love you guys and you deserve better. And I'm going to show you that I got your back. And that's who I really think this is geared toward is marketing. Maybe the ADs, I don't know, marketing, the university, something, figure it out.
I love it, man. Love what you put together. Check it out at 7220sports.com. Wyoming's Jeff Linder on home attendance. It's not good enough. Cody, great work by you. It gets us something to talk about, and you know that's what I do, so thank you.
You got it, my friend. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Cody Tucker, Wyoming Cowboys insider. I'm going to get into this. We're going to get into this, Angel. We got to take a break. We'll be right back, but we're going to get into this. Don't go anywhere.
Keep Keep up with all the state wrestling action at Ball Arena with KFKA's updates throughout each tournament day. Presented by Bruce Sandow of Clearwater Sediment and Erosion.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Steamway Floor to Ceiling. They got the 4,000 square foot showroom with tile, luxury vinyl, hardwood, carpet, granite, and more. Check them out at 602 8th Avenue in Greeley, or you can check them out online right now. Do it right now. Do it, Angel. I'm asking. Now, steamwayfloortoceiling.com. First event is text line 888-530-0043. Poll question of the day is up. Are you concerned about the Nuggets getting smoked the last two games? And I want to get into this whole thing, man, like with Wyoming, with Jeff Linder. Rams fans are going at Cody, and I get that because I have a lot of Rams followers on my Twitter account. So when I share Cody's stuff, Rams fans, you're going at it saying, hey, just win. And I agree. However, I agree with Jeff. I agree with Cody. I think there is a middle ground. You got to win, and you got to make it exciting. But fans got to go when it's exciting as well. I don't know what the attendance numbers were like the year Wyoming went to, they were the last four in or whatever, and they lost to Dayton. But when they had Graham E.K., Hunter Maldonado, that was the same year the Rams got in. I went to that CSU-Wyoming game. Wyoming was legit. That was a damn good basketball team. What was the attendance like then? And were you marketing the hell out of that after the fact? Because if a tree falls in the woods and you're not there to see it, does it actually make a sound? So when you have these great players, these marketable players, these studs like Graham Ike that can go to Gonzaga, they're that damn good. Are you blowing that up? Is he all over the place? And I know NIL's complicated some of that too. But CSU did do that. They did it the right way. Moby Madness became, I mean, it was like reinvigorated when David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens and Nico Medved joined forces and went to March Madness. Moby Madness seems like it's here to stay. And they did a lot of things right. You had to win, but they did a lot of things right before that, too. Top story of the day, coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's a whole show powered by Chevron.